Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from District Metals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol DMX. We are chatting with the president and CEO, Garrett Ainsworth. Now, District Metals is a base metals play focused in Sweden. The company holds three different projects. We're going to be talking a lot about really the flagship project here, this Tom Tebow project, again, in Sweden, simply because the company did release news, drill results, the final drill results, actually, from the winter, let's call it 2021 program. And the headline number here of 30 meters at almost 11% zinc equivalent on the Tom Tebow property coming from the Steffenberg zone. This is the longest interval of continuous strong sulfide mineralization at Tom Tebow to date. Garrett, let's start off talking about this drill result and what it means big picture for the potential at the Steffenberg zone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So hole 28 was very significant. It's, the largest grade width interval of polymetallic mineralization that we've seen at Steffenberg's, you know, from anything historically done there or anything that we have drilled. You know, that really, the historical work that was done led us here. But what we're seeing is, massive sulfide mineralization that's present over a vertical extent of 200 meters and laterally for about 100 meters. And it's open at depth and partially, along strike. So it's definitely going to be an area that we come back and focus in on in the next round of drilling.
Well, Garrett, just in speaking to you before we started recording, I had asked you, and I'll just go ahead and ask it here, were you expecting to find this big of mineralization in this area? I mean, obviously your team targeted it for a reason, but were you surprised by these results?
We definitely were. Yeah, hole 28, 30 meter intercept. Above that, there was a hole one had like 8 meter intercept of, that was about 20% zinc equivalent. And then below it, it was hole 25 had 14 meters of 14%. So, I mean, this is just over double of hole 25 in a width sense. So it really shows how these, VMS, massive sulfide deposits, how they, they pinch and swell. And we've obviously hit a very, very big swell with hole 28.
Now, what's the overall size of mineralization that you know now from the Steffenberg zone through the drilling to date?
Yeah, so from all the holes that we've done a vertical extent over 200 meters, goes from surface all the way down, and then laterally at least 100 meters. It looks like it's going to be more than that as well. Where we've also done some downhole EM surveys in late January, earlier in February as well, which is really going to help map out the massive sulfides to get us, pinpoint our drill targets for the next round. Also, now that we have our assays back, we've started doing the whole rock geochemistry, which is led by our technical advisor, Rodney Allen, who is an absolute expert in the Bergslagen for finding the fertile horizon. So we'll be using that in conjunction with the EM to really focus our next drilling.
And Garrett, you're going to be going deeper. How deep has the drilling gone so far, just for people listening? And then how deep will you be going when you go back and retest some of these targets again?
Yeah, so the massive sulfide lens at Steffenberg's is steeply dipping to the northwest. We've traced it down to about a vertical depth of just past 200 meters. So drill holes will have to be about 400 meters to extend that down to, say, 250, 300 meters vertical extent.
So then, Garrett, when do you think you'll have another drill program going here? What's going to be the general attack strategy, again, when you get the drill back on the Tom Tebow property?
Yeah, so it's going to be a very busy first half of this year. We're due to a change in drill contractor that we found out in earlier January, and then also delay on the assays. We're starting later at Tom Tebow than what we originally had thought, but we'll be going back to the Tom Tebow property in early April. Again, really focused on the Steffenberg zone, and we're also going to take a look at the EM data at Oscarsgruven and Gordsgruven, and we still have a bunch of regional targets that we have not drilled as well. So we're going to have to really pick out our priority targets there. And then after Tom Tebow, we're gonna go and drill one of our new projects in Sweden called Groove Barriet. So that should the timing on that should be early May. And then, you know, a few weeks ago, we put out news that we've submitted a permit application for our copper project on Vancouver Island that hopefully we'll get our permit approved in the next month or so. So we'll be in a position to drill that in April, May.
Well, Garrett, let's talk about those two newer projects. The Groove Barriet that you just picked up, I believe that it had been in prior production. You thought there were some pretty prolific trends of mineralization to go after. Just give us an update on why you're excited to get drilling on that in 2022.
Definitely, yeah. So Groove Barriet's about 40 kilometers northwest of our Tom Tebow property. You know, road access is really good. There's two main showings that attracted us were the North Zone and the South Zone. The North Zone has 15 historical drill holes in it that show really good widths and grades of polymetallic mineralization. The continuity of this the mineralization is 550 meters along strike down to a vertical depth of 160 meters. So all of our drilling there will just be stepping out at depth and along strike. When you combine the north and south zones, it's over a kilometer strike length of mineralization, and it hasn't been drilled in between them at all. We actually flew an airborne SkyTEM survey in November of 2021. It's just on the tail end of getting interpreted, so we should have news out on that for sure in March. And we'll also be using that to guide us for drilling in between the north and south zone. But just using the basic, you know, width, strike, and vertical extent, we're already seeing that the tonnage is, the potential tonnage is adding up there quite quickly.
So, Garrett, considering you guys are planning, let's say, 2,000 to 3,000 meters at Groove Barriet, what's possible to generate out of a program like that? Obviously not a resource, but what would you hope to leave that program with?
Depending on what size of resource you want to put out, we could generate a resource from the historical data that's already happened there. But our main thing is, you know, these systems are known to go at Garpenberry and at Zinkgruvan down to a depth of, 1,600 meters. And historically, that was ignored because, you know, why would they want to go that deep when they can just cherry pick all the high grade that's at surface? And that's essentially what a lot of the historical mines, that's what they did. So, but I mean, nonetheless to say, you know, the North Zone is not deep. It's wide open at 160 meters depth. So we're just going to be stepping out on 75 meter centers below the 160 meter level and along strike as well. And just to see how it kind of keeps developing, we think we see where the potential vent might be in the North Zone. So it's pretty exciting, putting it all together, and we'll see how it goes with the extra drilling there.
Well, Garrett, it's going to be interesting to follow along with the drilling at this newer project at Groove Barriet. Let's also move over to one other property you did mention we'll get some work this year, and that's the Bakar Copper property. You had put out some news earlier in the month on February 7th that you're going to be doing some drilling there, I guess, in April or May. And this is at the Elephant Crossing Target, which is a great name that we were talking about off mic. It's elephant country out there, Garrett. So what will the drill program be at the Bakar Copper Project on Vancouver Island?
Yeah, so, I mean, the Elephant Crossing Target, or the EC Target, it really caught us off guard. You know, our joint venture partner, Sherpa 2 Holdings, they funded us to operate, a fairly modest $200,000 work expenditures. Essentially, we did some prospecting, mapping, sampling. It found some outcrop with 4% copper in it, and it was right along the edge of a very large VTEM anomaly that we had identified from a 2019 VTEM anomaly. And this VTEM anomaly is 1.5 kilometers long by half a kilometer wide. So pair that up with the 4% copper, we said, okay, this needs to see a ZTEM survey. It's usually a good survey to fly to pick up porphyries, even though porphyries aren't typically conductive. So, they can be conductive, but, in this case, the ZTEM anomaly showed an even bigger anomaly that was coincident with the VTEM. So all of a sudden, we've got three coincident points being the geochem. There's other you know, rock sample showing good alteration over a 2 kilometer by 2 kilometer area. And so this property all of a sudden became a priority for us to drill with our partner Sherpa too. So it's amazing how this is the fun of exploration. You know, when things come together to the point where you can't walk away from it, it's a good problem to have.
So Garrett, sounds like a lot of exploration even still to come after this last program. Where does the company stand cash wise?
Yeah, right now we're at about 2.9 million in the bank, so fully funded for all the activities that we have in the first half of this year.
All right. Well, Garrett, appreciate the update. We will post a link to the District Metals website, the news section of that website, so you can read over the most recent few news releases that outline the drill results and also that new drill program at that Bakar project on Vancouver Island. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. In full disclosure, I am a shareholder of District Metals. And, well, Garrett, keep us up to date on more news.
Hey, thanks very much, Corey and Shad.